I wanted space. I wanted spaciousness for an exquisite love in my life. I was ready to create something that was so beautiful, so divine, so lit up. And I couldn't do that if I was hustling 10 hours a day.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I'm the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman and your host here on the podcast, which is dedicated to you, the ultra successful, high achieving woman who wants to create an exquisite life for herself and wants to do that at the same time as building a kick-ass business. So it's not an either-or game we're playing today. It's an and more life that we're creating. And I am thrilled to bring onto the podcast today as one of our guests, someone who is a good example of having done that. I'm sure there's places where she's still up-leveling and growing as us all, but she has figured a few things out, and I'm thrilled to have her on today as a guest. Her name is Stacey Ennis, and she is living in Portugal. She is location independent, and she is someone who's created a beautiful business for herself and for her family. And we're going to dive into what that means to her and what key things you can pull out of her story for your life. So welcome to the podcast, Stacey. Really great to have you here.
Amira, thank you for having me. I've been really looking forward to this conversation.
So one of the things we talk about on the podcast is like a new definition of what ambition looks like, success looks like, being a powerful woman in this world. Like we all do life differently. We all do business differently. And we all are ourselves uniquely and differently. And yet we're conditioned to have certain standards of what success looks like from, you know, the culture, our upbringing, all of those things. How have you really approached success differently? How would you say you approach success differently?
It's interesting because I am going through kind of an internal questioning of my own definition of success. And I think I do that on a regular basis, actually, really check in inwardly and say, are the goals that I have and the things that I'm striving for actually things that I deeply want? Or have they been modeled for me by somebody else that I internalized and decided that I wanted, but actually don't want? I've been going through that right now at the stage of business that I'm in. And I think upon reflection, I've gone through it so many different times. And for me, success, to your point earlier, is so much about holistic life. And it's not just about how successful the business is, although that's also super important to me. And it's actually a pretty big part of my identity and how I operate in the world is this business that I've built. And I'm very proud of it. But I'm also a mom and a runner and a daughter and a sister and all these other things. And so those aspects of my life are so important to me. The other component of that for me has been actually questioning this whole path that was given to me as an American growing up in suburbia and having a really clear path defined for me of what my life should look like and kind of feeling even from a very young age that it didn't quite fit for me, that it didn't feel right to me. And it took actually traveling and exploring different places to be able to recreate the life that I actually wanted for myself. And that's actually, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but ultimately what has led me to live now in my fourth country outside of the US.
So as context, let's take a moment. I have a bunch of things that I want to come back to in what you just said, but let's take a quick moment to share with the audience so that they have some context of who I'm speaking to here, who they're listening to. What is your business? What you said your identity, you have a lot of identity wrapped up in running your business and being that woman who owns this business, runs this business. What is that?
I get to do the coolest thing in the world, which is help authors bring their books into the world. And as a kid that fell in love with books at the age of 7 and wrote her first poem that I submitted for a state poetry contest, I got second place, which was good enough to be encouraging, but not get an ego. And at 7, I knew I wanted to work in this world in some capacity. And so now to be 38 and to have a business where I coach authors, I guide them through this beautiful journey of authorhood. I help them get these books out of their heads and into book format so they can share it with the world is such an honor. And I do that through coaching. And also I have a ghostwriting team as well. So we have both, and we work with authors who want to be the ones to write their stories. And we also partner with authors, bringing our expertise to help them marry their story and their expertise with our skill and our expertise in writing.
I love that. I love that. I have all sorts of questions about the whole ghostwriting process that I would love to pick your brain about at some point. Like, how do they get your voice? Does it actually sound like the person, right? Like, when done well, I know that it does, right? And I find that a bit of a magical experience, right? That someone can embody your truth so well that they can write as if it were you writing. How does that happen?
It's such an art. And it's funny because I had a conversation with somebody recently where they said, well, I have a lot of recordings. Can I just like give those to you and you can write a, you know, your team can write a book. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. You know, obviously, you know, was very kind and professional in the response, but there is such an art and a skill to ghostwriting. You have to be an incredible interviewer. You have to be able to connect deeply with people and understand people. So you need great empathy. Then you also have to have this skill of writing, and you have to be a great collaborator. And like, there's like so much to it. And also the fact that writing and book writing are two different skill sets. And if you think about that, that means that to develop the skill of book writing, you have to write many books to become great at it. That's a lot of work to develop a skill. So somebody who's a skilled ghostwriter of books, they have so many qualities, and it's such a, there's so much more to it than what most people think, that which is you just kind of people talk and you just turn that into a book. It's just, it's so much deeper than that.
Well, thank you for that little overview. I love that. I'm going to circle back. That was helpful. That kind of lit up different parts of my brain. So thank you for that. Let's go back to the identity as a business owner and how you're reevaluating with that in mind, what success looks for you. Why don't we go back to the evaluation that you're doing right now? How are you approaching that? I have my own particular way of approaching looking at what's working, what's not working, and, you know, leveling up when the time is right and actually knowing when the time is right to do that. What's your process on that?
Well, I think that that core question of timing is what I'm going through right now. We have a personal challenge that we're going through as a family right now, and it's taking a lot of time and energy from me. We're going to a lot of appointments. We're doing pretty intense health protocols. Like, we have a lot going on. And I set some really aggressive targets for revenue for this year, not just in revenue, but impact. And I've had to, you know, acknowledge that this may not be an aggressive growth season for me. We're still going to grow, but it may not be the year that I have the energy to be able to lean in as hard as I want to this year. And to me, that's a maturity place to come in as a business owner and to be able to say, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm failing. It means I'm being wise and thoughtful about my personal bandwidth so that I can show up for my family who needs me right now. In the past, when I was, you know, I'm 15 years in now. So when I was much earlier in my business, I would have gotten really down on myself because I set a goal and now I'm adjusting that goal down, actually. And that's just not my natural personality. I'm super stubborn. Like, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And my own maturity as a business owner has been really being mindful and loving with myself, actually, and recognizing that to be able to show up and do excellent work and be an excellent mom and be an excellent partner, hopefully most of the time, you know, I need to be thinking holistically and not just driving forward. And an important check-in that I had personally is that I have some amazing mentors and colleagues that I really trust to speak into my life and reflect back. But I realized that some of the advice or insight that I was getting was coming from people who had very different life situations from me. They didn't have children, often were a male. And while it was super valuable and helpful, and I so appreciate them, I'm running that through a filter now before I actually accept it into my life. And also checking in with my inner wisdom and that gut feeling that I have, that inner knowledge that I have, and trusting that more. I am trusting it so much more this year than I ever have in the past. So it's been really good. It's been a really exciting stage of business for me.
Hey there, I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success in building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. I love that in so many ways, right? The last thing in particular that you're trusting your inner wisdom is and not just deferring in either to your conditioned self or to other people's perspectives is huge. I want to go back to this idea that you had specific revenue and impact goals, and then you use the phrase downshifting, right? You're downshifting that, and for valid reasons. Can you talk about how you know the truth? And maybe it has to do with checking in with your inner self, your inner wisdom. But so often, I think women get quite confused, people maybe, not just women, get quite confused about whether they are letting themselves down or they're being wise because of the conditioning that exists. And there's a nuance to it, to knowing when you're telling yourself a story about, you know, oh, we'll just take it a little easier right now. I don't want to be burnt out. I don't want to cause stress, versus actually this is the right thing. Like, slow is the new fast is how I frame it up, right? Like, if you ratchet it back just a little bit, you'll actually have more power in this world to achieve your goals. So was it simply getting in touch with your inner wisdom? And if it was that, how did you go about doing that?
Particularly, I was feeling tired. I was really exhausted and overextended. And I was finding myself having trouble sleeping. This was earlier this year. I was on track for my revenue goals, but I realized that if I kept driving at that pace, I was going to really struggle. Like, I could tell that I was not heading to a place that I wanted to go. For me, it wasn't actually changing the revenue goals. It was shifting the time horizon for the goals. And I have enough self-trust to know that I will get there. It's not, to me, it's not a question of whether, it's just the time horizon needed to shift a little bit for me. I also am finding that I am really fed by other activities outside of work. Like, it helps me show up in a better way in my work life. And with the schedule that I was maintaining earlier this year, we had a really intense, the first or second month of the year was really intense. I wasn't having time to practice piano, which I'm taking right now, or practice Portuguese, which I'm learning right now. So some of those more fulfilling activities, I was just too tired to do them. So some of that was just checking in. I think the other thing, back to that, you know, inner...
Let's pause there for 1 second. Yeah. That's anything but an exquisite life, right? Like, exhaustion for one, like, if you don't have your health, if you don't have your energy, what do you have, right? You have a grind. You have your conditioned self. You just have pushing through for some predetermined goal that's supposed to get you happiness, right? It's supposed to get you to feel good, but it's a dot on the time horizon versus the rest of the journey, which if you're not living well, becomes a life suck. And so many of us, I will count myself in this group of people, at one point or another has made that trade-off. And it's a poor trade-off. Like, speaking from experience, it's like, no, that is not the trade that I want to make. That's not why I got into business. That's not why I decided to be a creative person in this world and create. I loved the feeling of being alive in my business, not dragged down by it. So that's huge. Okay, you were in the midst of saying something. If you still have it clear in your mind, please continue.
That was a great interjection. I'm really glad that you added that. I think that what I'll add is that I didn't get to that point of depletion because I recognized it. And so yeah. I started to notice that I wasn't having the energy that I needed for my family. I was feeling really tired. And so I was pretty quick to evaluate and make a shift. Earlier on in my business, I would have just kept grinding for the whole year. And then I would have crashed and burned, which has happened, you know, in my life more than once. Because so I am really just stubborn, as you mentioned, you know, I'm going to keep driving.
Yeah. So let's pull some teaching points out of that. Learning from experience. It's happened in the past. Maybe you beat yourself up, but from this particular moment in time, you didn't. You just were like, oh yeah, I recognize the signs. This is not where I want to go again. So you learned from the past. You didn't keep recreating it. And then you were aware enough about what was happening in your body. So many, when we're in business, we're often in our heads quite a lot. We're thinking, we're reviewing spreadsheets, we're doing emails, right? There's also, you know, we're thinking about business plans. We're all up in our heads. And oftentimes people lose that connection to their body, like the embodied sense of who they are. They wonder why they don't feel great or have energy or an exquisite life. But what I heard there was that you paid attention to the very beginning inklings of that. There was a nuance there that wasn't, it didn't have to shout at you or cut you down at the knees and cause a health crisis or something else. You listened early on to the whispers. So a couple key things for our listeners there. Okay, please continue.
I think that's so important. And I think the other layer that I'll add to that is I have placed myself in an environment that supports my health and nervous system. So I live in a beautiful beach town where we have access to fresh, healthy food from our farmer. And, you know, I get sunshine every day. And so I'm in this also this world and this environment that is a slower pace than my brain. So it's a good balance for me. It's allowed me to, I think, be more connected to nature, be more aware when I'm out of balance or edging up toward out of balance. And yeah, I feel that awareness is such a, it takes maturity, right? And then I think the other piece of that when I was younger is I would have a lot of self-talk that would be like, well, this is just what it's like. You just have to grind. You just have to keep going. And that's not a healthy place, I think, for anybody to be, but it is cultural. It's what we're taught in the world of business.
So let's talk about that, because that's such a big one. I want to make one more point about what you just said. She put herself in, she consciously chose her environment. She didn't let life choose where she lived. She consciously chose her environment with a nod to the rhythm and the pace that it had, being different than the pace that she was in herself. Okay, love that. Let's talk about the grind. I've had so many conversations about this and my thinking has evolved on it over time, but I'd love your thoughts. For many successful people, yourself included, we reference the past. When we first started our business, to get it off the ground, we were grinding. We were just like sheer willpower. We had our work ethic. We went for it. And yet, successful business, I don't care how, what level you define it at, but these are billionaires who say this. These are women like yourself who have a very successful business by most standards, right? To get it off the ground, there was this grind. They might not be doing it anymore, but in the beginning, there was this grind. Do you think, honest here, of course you're going to be honest, but I just want to emphasize that. Do you think that for, not for you starting a new business, but for anyone else who's never started a business before, there needs to be a certain amount of grind? Or do you think that you can actually do it differently with more spaciousness, ease, flow, less of that like thousand whips if you didn't get everything on your to-do list done every day kind of thing?
I mean, my perception of, or my, I guess my perspective about this, and I've said this to people who've sought my mentorship, is I do think you have to hustle in the beginning. I do think that there is some grind required. Where I think we miss the mark is recognizing when that can stop. Yeah. So for me, I took way too long to recognize it. And I had this moment where like everything changed for me. I was pregnant. I was very pregnant, like 8 months pregnant, I think. And it was a Saturday night. It was like 10 or 11 PM. I was emceeing an awards ceremony that week. And somehow I had offered, I don't know, to take home the trophies and like put names with it. And I was sitting on the floor, super pregnant, so tired. And I remember like, there was just this moment where I was like, what am I doing? Like, it is Saturday at like 10:30 PM. I'm really pregnant. Like, why am I doing this? You know? And I'd been in business for a few years at that point. And I was working weekends and I was working nights and like 7 days a week. And I was also pregnant, which is not very easy. And I had that moment where suddenly I was like, oh, I'm the only one who can change this for me. Like, I am completely in charge of, like, I had all this epiphany in this moment. I'm going to start telling my clients that I only answer emails during the week. Huh?
Okay. Revelation.
I could stop taking calls past a certain time. Like, it was like this unfolding realization, and it took some time to adjust my behaviors, but I think I could have made those changes years earlier. I just didn't, because I didn't realize it was available to me. And I was so in that hustle mindset.
I think that's a huge point. I think we wait too long to make that change. And what I also heard there was that you had leverage over yourself. This is one of the things that I help people see. There has to be a desire that's greater than the comfort of staying the same. Even though you may not have liked the grind, it was known. And the known is comfortable, right? You don't have to explore something else that's risky or different, or you don't know how it's gonna play out. You were pregnant. You didn't want to bring this kind of hustle and grind into always and this always on kind of business to raising your family. And for me, the leverage that I had when I really shifted this was like, I wanted space. I wanted spaciousness for an exquisite love in my life. And I was ready to create something that was so beautiful, so divine, so lit up. And I couldn't do that if I was, you know, hustling 10 hours a day. Like, I just couldn't. I didn't have the internal heart space for it. I didn't know, I couldn't shift gears from the way I was working to being present with, for me, it's a man, like with my man, like I was not setting myself up for an exquisite love. And that's what I desired. So I had to shift how that was more important to me than my addiction to the struggle, right? My addiction to the grind. And I think it does become an addiction. So I'm with you. I agree that in the beginning, there's a certain amount of hustle that has to happen, because I believe you have to overcome your smaller self thinking. And that's challenging and hard when you're just starting a business. There's all sorts of decisions and, you know, doubts and fears, and you have to, everything takes five times longer than you think it's going to take. But if you were starting a business now, or if I was starting a new business now, it would be totally different. We would approach it in a completely different way because we're at a different level of beingness or awareness of how to manage ourselves because we have that experience. We've worked through those issues. And certainly you can learn that from mentors, but there's a large majority of it that you need to go through the fire yourself to some degree. Really,
I love all of that. I think it's such a good point of awareness. And I think that to our earlier conversation of that just maturity that comes through these moments, these experiences where you have to confront your own behavior and the results of those behaviors. For me, the other piece of that was acknowledging the fear around not working as much, which my fear was that I would not earn enough money, right?
Yeah.
Funny enough, it works the opposite way. And I have learned that time and time again, that the more boundaries I draw around my time, the more money I make. And I always have this really weird thing happen that every time I take a vacation, I close a ton of business right before I take that vacation. And there are these signs that I continue to see time and time again, that when I honor my time and my space, not only do I show up as a better leader for my team, leader for myself, but I'm more joyful. I mean, there's so much there to ensuring that like we are our best selves in all spaces, which is not perfect, right? Like we all are going to reevaluate and have moments where we're like, oh no, this is not working. What do I need to change? But that awareness piece and also that wisdom of knowing I can trust myself to meet my goals. And I also don't need to be afraid that I'm not going to make money in my business. Just like that, I think is really common fear.
It's a huge common fear. I work with so many women who want something different. They tell me they want a different kind of life, whether it's an exquisite love or better health or better energy, right? They want more spaciousness, more ease and flow, but their conditioned self is attached to, this is the way I've always made money. If I let go of this way of being, this, and to our conversation in the beginning, this is an identity. Our identity is wrapped up in, I am someone who is successful because I am this way. And so it's like we're up against that fear, and you have to make decisions. Our greatest power is our power to choose. You have to make decisions in favor of what you desire, despite the fear, like you talked about, despite that coming up. And what I'm also hearing you say is that you had, and tell me if I'm wrong here because I'm reading between the lines, you had faith. Now, I'm not talking about religious faith. I'm talking about like, you were like, I am going to put boundaries on my time because that's more important to me than my addiction to the fear. And even though I have this fear, I'm going to have faith that doing this will work. And you stayed in that energy of it working, not in the energy of the fear. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. Absolutely. And I think also seeing the results and acknowledging them as results of the things that I did. Like when you start to see, oh, I have some energy at the end of the day, or, oh, my revenue is going up. And rather than going, oh, there must be something like different going on, you know, kind of not taking ownership over the results, having the ability to go, what did I do that is producing these results? And how can I lean more into that? For me, that's been really important. And yeah, just like I did that. I am the one that made that happen in my own business and in my own life.
And oftentimes the things, what I'm hearing you say is oftentimes the things that changed, the causes to the new effects weren't necessarily different marketing or working a gazillion trillion more hours or putting more energy into something. It was like coming back into yourself, having the clarity. So maybe you did do something different in the marketing, but it came from having the spaciousness, having the clear mind, being connected to yourself, being connected to your greater self, right? Like, and being able to make different decisions. And you connected those dots to that you were showing up differently, not just different outer game type tactics. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think the other layer to that is that once I started to draw these boundaries around, then I got more nuanced in my energy management during the week and every day, and really started paying attention to the way my body feels when my brain is most focused, and ensuring that I had deep discretionary time, that I could have this time that I can count on to do deep work, and understanding kind of the flow and my rhythm and my own needs during the day. So there was that very practical component to it as well, where I didn't just stop at, okay, I'm going to draw these like these big boundaries. Now I'm going to have a more thoughtful understanding of how my brain works and what I need to show up as my best self. That has been absolutely life-changing. And it's also something that when I'm working with authors who are writing their books, that's actually one of the first things we do is we look at their schedule and we create that space for them to be present. That presence in your day is everything.
It's huge. I have so much on that. So first, I want to say thank you for mentioning space for deep work. Okay, that is just so huge, because that was a little reminder for me. Up until a few weeks ago, my routine was I would get up in the morning, I might meditate, but it was a short little meditation. I'd get a little cup of tea, and then I would have all this time. I'd sit in bed because it's my happy place, and I would do 3, 4 hours, 5 hours of work before the world got up. And it was like my deep sometimes it was contemplating my vision and personal growth work, but often it was doing some big deep thinking on the business. Well, I've switched my routine to something that I really love, which is now I'm getting up and I'm doing an hour long meditation in the morning, and then I'm having a little tea, and then I'm going for a second walking meditation. And it's this still that same amount of space, but it's not dedicated to anything specific directly related to the business. And I need to go back and carve out that quiet space for the business work. So I appreciate the reminder. I'm going to do that today before the end of the day. I'm going to reevaluate the schedule, because it's so important. And I think looking at, I mean, time is just such an interesting experience that we have. Yes, in this 3D world, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. And yet there are times where we maximize that, not because we are working every second of the day, but because we're more connected to our source, our spirit. And I don't think we get there without having that. For me, it's meditation. It's quiet time to myself, connected to my greater self. But it's also the spaciousness to do work that's not task-driven or deadline-driven or urgency. Or, I mean, we all need some boundaries and structures that deadlines give us, but not that sort of rushed the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that I need to get done, to have that spaciousness to get the big thinking done. So
I think that we have to, you know, we hear that all the time. It's such one of those phrases that, like, especially like the productivity bros love to talk about. But when we really think about it, that's not actually true, because a single mom does not have the same 24 hours as a 25-year-old male that mm-hmm. is uncoupled. And, you know, so to me, that awareness has allowed me to be more mindful of where I need to rest. Because if I compare myself, this to my earlier conversation about these mentors that I was listening to, who I deeply respect and I'm so grateful for their input in my life, my 24-hour day looks nothing like their 24-hour day, you know?
Yeah.
So that awareness allows me to be more gracious with myself. And to also know that there are seasons. My kids are 8 and 11 right now. It's a little easier than when they were really little, but we're still in a pretty heavy mom needs to be around season of life. And I know that my 24 hours will look different in 8 years. And So just being mindful of that piece of it for me has been really important as I think about my own expectations of myself and how I measure success and what's reasonable and all of those pieces.
Yes, 100%. I love that. And I just want to say that I have for many years, often been seduced by this like go hard type of mentorship, right? Like there, and to some degree, it was what helped me get over inertia when I was first starting my business. So I appreciate it. And there is something about, you know, you hear about Kobe Bryant, you know, being the first one at the gym in the morning and the last one leaving, right? There is something about putting the reps in, right? For greatness. Like, I don't think any of us can deny that. But he also has, to your point, had someone taking care of the kids, right? Had like a network supporting him, right? And that's not to diminish him at all, because I'm a big fan. But it is different. And I would get seduced by the, you know, one more rep, like go hard, maximize. I remember hearing Tony Robbins back in the day talk about no wasted time, like net time or something, like every moment of every day should be maximized, right? So like you're listening to audiobooks and podcasts, and I love that stuff, right? There are times where I'm puttering and doing my stuff and listening, like I listen to podcasts and I don't just produce a podcast. But there's a REM that like your brain needs some downtime. And I think we have to be cognizant that different people need different amounts of downtime, and that's different in different seasons as well. What I could do in my 20s is different than my 30s, 40s, and now in my 50s, you know? That is not to say that, because I can hear people's minds, their thoughts going, oh, she's making an excuse not to work so hard. And it's not that. It's, to me, it feels like wisdom, like it's finally leaning into the spaciousness that I've always craved, but never gave myself permission for. And if, you know, you could learn that in your 40s, you could learn that in your 30s, right? And there's no reason you have to wait. And, you know, you're a little bit younger than I am, but there's no reason that you have to wait. But I do think that there are different seasons and that we're driven by different things at different times in our lives.
I agree so much with that. And I think this other piece, I've really had to untangle myself from the American cultural orientation to depletion. Like, we see depletion as a badge of honor. And it's something that, you know, when
I'm just going to interrupt you and go, ouch, but that is so true. Yes. Okay. Yeah, please continue.
It is. It was like, I had like a light bulb of that recently, because I had to untangle from that and recreate a mindset of ease. And that's actually a guiding, I use that word ease to guide my business decisions and my life decisions. Ease is a good thing. It's not a good thing to be depleted in your everyday life, but we glorify it. Even, you know, getting help around the house is somehow a failure of our domestic like ability. All these things that I was so ingrained in growing up in the United States, and living in all of these different countries has allowed me to live in all these different cultural contexts and confront these ideals that I thought were just normal. No, they weren't. They were just American. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can function in the world, and you can actually decide that you don't want to live that way. And you can decide that you want to live a different way. And you don't have to move out of the country to do that. But it helped for me to be in these different places and to take in other ways of existing.
I love that. I love that. One of my power questions that I ask myself is, how can I make this easier?
Yeah, I love that. Yes. Yeah. There's usually a way, right?
There's always a way. It's like, wait a second. I'm in some, like, I'm steamrolling myself, right? I'm going down this path and that I don't need to. Like, there is an absolute other way. Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode. So I want to go to this idea of you living in other countries and running a business, and you're partnered. Does your partner also run a location non-specific business?
He is a stay-at-home dad. He's been home for 11 years now.
Okay. I have lots of questions. Okay. We're going to dive in. So let's talk about the masculine and the feminine in your life and in your relationship. So when I say that, I don't know what you have in your mind, but when I say the masculine and the feminine, I'm talking about how each of us, each individual human, has both a masculine essence and a feminine essence. And usually, not always, men, males, have more masculine essence than feminine essence, and females have more feminine essence than masculine essence, but not always. Okay, we're all unique. And I find that when I'm running my business, when I'm in go mode, business mode, that I'm much more in my masculine, though not completely. I have learned over the years to sort of integrate a lot more and bring my feminine to the business. But I can often get in a very sort of emphasis on the masculine, my masculine edge, my masculine energy. First question, do you find that you're the same? And second question, if so, how does that affect your relationship? And then third question, does your husband have a strong masculine even though he's a stay-at-home dad? Okay, you can answer those however you want.
So I don't think I've really thought about it in those terms, but I think the way that I have thought about it, it will answer the question, and maybe we can dig in where needed. In our relationship, and then I'll come back to the business, I often do find us confronting gender norms, but in the reverse, right? Like, I grew up with a stay-at-home mom. My dad was a chiropractor, is a chiropractor. And, you know, typical, like, she cleans, she cooks, she does all of the normal stuff. And in our relationship, we do have house cleaners. So my husband doesn't really clean, but he does, you know, he does all the grocery shopping, all the cooking, he packs lunches, he drops the kids off at school, picks them up, all the like normal stuff. And sometimes, you know, we will have these moments where I kind of realize that the way that I'm behaving is not the way that I think that a really egalitarian couple should behave. You know, I come out of work and I have that, like, I'm really tired. I just want to sit down with the kids and play with them. And there's still like tons of stuff to do around the house. Like, that's just not an equal partnership. And so that's been really interesting for us, because I've had to, in the same way that I've had to untangle myself from American culture, I've also had to do that from gender norms, but not then reattaching, like not flipping them. That's not actually untangling from gender norms. So that's been a journey. I mean, I'm always learning through that. As far as the business, I don't know. It's a good question. I think I'm going to have to be paying more attention to the energy that I bring. I think it depends on who I'm interacting with. Also, I work with men and women pretty equally, but I do find that when I'm in spaces with a lot of women, I bring more of my feminine energy to that, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's an element of that, of just feeling seen and safe when I'm in community with other women, but I haven't really thought about that too much, I think. As far as my husband's like masculine energy, I think he's a really interesting guy, because he's more likely to cry at a movie than I am, but he's very secure in his like manhood. He's not like a lot of other men who seem to be kind of like sometimes like almost competing in certain environments to kind of be a certain type of whatever. He's just not, he never has the sense of like needing to prove anything. And I think that's why he's so great at being a stay-at-home parent, because it's not any, like, I think it can be hard for men. It's not a typical gender role. And I think also if you haven't had that modeled for you and you go into this new thing and you have no blueprint to follow, that can be very difficult for him because he just has no, like, he just doesn't care like what anyone thinks or what he should be. He's been amazing in that role. And he was a kindergarten teacher before, so he was like kind of a perfect person to step into that role in our family.
Okay, well, that's very interesting and insightful. I'm intrigued by that. Okay, before we wrap up and I ask you my final questions, I mean, I could keep going for many, many more minutes and hours here because this is a really juicy conversation. But with the idea of wrapping up, where can people find you if they want to seek out your mentorship, your book writing services? How would they find you? Where do they follow you? All of that good stuff.
Well, I am at stacyannis.com. I thankfully bought my name very early on in the internet ecosystem. So stacyannis.com. I'm at stacyannis on Instagram. I have a few different ways that people can work with me. So I have a 6-month book coaching program. It's such a beautiful experience, beautiful journey. And as I mentioned earlier, we offer ghostwriting as well. And anybody who has even an inkling that they're ready to step into that author journey, you are so welcome to reach out to hello@stacyannis.com. And I'd love to get your questions. And then I have a podcast as well, which you were recently on, and it's called Beyond Better. And in that podcast, I explore how to live a life that is not just better, but beyond better. So we talk a lot about location independence. Of course, we talk about writing and all things kind of in those worlds.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. We'll put all of that in the show notes for people so you can find the links there. Okay, final question, Stacey. So, how would you define an exquisite life?
I think about an exquisite life as one where I am getting both the nervous system balance that I need to feel good and to feel like centered, but also I have things that are scary and exciting at the same time. I need to have that balance. And scary, not in a negative way, but in a thrilling way. Like I'm doing something new. Sometimes that is at work. Sometimes it's in my personal life. It's a new thing that I'm learning. It's a new experience that I'm having. But to me, those two things being existing is so important. And they're the foundation. To me, when those two things are existing, it means all the other stuff is working as it should in my life.
I love that. I love that. So to me that the scary bit is called growth, right? It's
Totally,
right? It's that edge where you're doing something new. You're not being the same person you've been up until now. You're challenging yourself to grow in some way. And it's, you know, it's daunting sometimes. So follow-up question on that. Where do you think you get in your own way with navigating both sides of that exquisite life, personally.
Sometimes I try to do too many things at one time. So it's like I set multiple major goals for myself, which makes it really hard to really lean in fully to anything, right? So I often have like a big spread of goals and then I kind of whittle it down and set different time horizons. The other piece is not taking action early enough and setting up consistent touch points for myself with the thing that I want to do. So, as an example, just a personal example, I really wanted to learn Portuguese by the end of last year. I did not learn Portuguese by the end of last year. What was missing? I did not take Portuguese classes last year. So, this year, I now have a weekly class. So, sometimes building in those set accountability markers for myself so that I am really just checking in regularly with my goals. It's already on my calendar. that piece is has been really, really important for me to being able to confront these big things and start to take them apart and accomplish them.
So huge. So what I'm hearing there is like, that's the masculine structure, right? That's the like, the accountability, the frameworks. Without it, we go in so many different directions. It's like the channeling process. The image that I use over and over again to describe this, it's like a waterfall where the rocks or the structure, that's the masculine, and the water flowing through it is the feminine. Without the rocks, we wouldn't have a waterfall. We would have a flat pond that doesn't move, right? With the structure, it drives our energy that's moving through it. So we need both. And what I'm hearing you say is that your energy can get dissipated unless you have those accountability touch points, which is a huge, I think that's a great takeaway for like so many of us that we need little check-ins. I was just doing that this morning, a totally different example of this, not Portuguese, business example. We have a great project list that for all the things that we're working on in the business. And I had realized that I had wanted to put a quick touch point meeting on the calendar with my project manager, second in command kind of person for this new process that we have set up. And I never did that. It meant that we weren't regularly looking at this great new process that we have. It's not like that's revelatory. Like this is project management 101 in a business. But I just realized that we created the new process, but we didn't put the touch points in. And it was like, it's such a duh. I thought about it. I didn't do it. It escaped me. It escaped us. And it's so easy to fix. So, and it gives us that framework. So I love that. Just concurring. There we go.
I love that example. And the metaphor is really cool to think about it that way of that. Yeah. I love that. That's so visual.
And it shows you need both, right? Without the water, there's no waterfall. It's just a bunch of rocks, right? You know?
Yeah. I love that.
So thank you so much, Stacey. This has been an amazing conversation. I've really enjoyed myself. I know our listeners are going to love this episode. Please let us know what your takeaways are from our conversation today. I read all the comments. I would love to hear what you think. What were the biggest things that you're going to apply to your life? What did you think about the identity issues that we talked about, or the time issues, or the structure issues, or the choice issues that we talked about? There were so many things that we covered in today's conversation. I'd love to hear what landed for you. Please let me know. And if you're inspired, please go to whatever platform you're listening to this on and give us a thumbs up or 5 stars. A review would be amazing. And sharing with your friends would also be amazing. And I would be incredibly appreciative, as that's how we are going to grow this podcast and get it in front of more people. So I would appreciate your help in doing that. And in the meantime, have an amazing day, live exquisitely, and I'll see you in the next episode. Take care. Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least $1 million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.